employed Pat here. If he's going to show up, we're going to put him to work. You know what I'm saying? He can't just walk in and sell a little insurance on the way out. Got to make it happen. Thank you, Joyce, for playing.
Am I caught up? Are we finished? Oh, you're
ready. Pastor Joe is coming in just a minute. He didn't like this thing around the neck. That scared him a little bit. So we're going to let him, Taylor, we're going to let him speak right here with this mic. So, Don, if you'd record him. Rio is has his camera going, capturing this service. That's good. The last time we did this, we put it on YouTube, the Christmas thing. Just want to say we're going to put a lot of stuff on the air. Before Pastor Joe comes, you're ready, Pastor Joe. You're as ready as you're going to be, right? Okay. We are going to put some stuff on the air, and we feel it's the Lord's vision for our fellowship. We may not be mega, but we are what? Yeah, you get a sticker for
the name. She got that. We want to be mega. We want to be a church of authority. May not be mega, but we have every desire to be mighty, and we want the mighty word to go forward.
Just so happens we need to buy a camera. Now, we're operating off of an iPad, whatever that is, but we need a camera and that takes the pictures that they can download and put it up on the, whatever it's called, the web. I don't get it. But do you know that camera? What would you think, Pastor Gary? You're not going anywhere, are you, Joe? You're okay. What would you think that roughly we would need for the setup? Pastor Gary in charge of technology.
$1,000, probably more around $800.
Is the mic on? It could be between $800 to $1,000.
No, I'm losing my voice, that's all.
Okay.
But, you know, we might be able to get it cheaper than that. We have to do some research.
Okay.
Some more.
We know God is speaking to us to put what goes on here, the word from the fellowship, on the air. And when it goes on, I used to be on TV and it went around 4 states. This internet thing is crazy. It goes around the world, doesn't it? Absolutely phenomenal that you can be in downtown Belt and be they can hear it in Tokyo, I guess if they have internet, or Paris or Rome, since I was there. An amazing thing that God has brought forward. $800 to $1,000. I'm just praying that when we walk out of here today that we will have that money in our hands. Amen. Let's just bow for just a minute. Lord, we just pray, not for things silly, just for the miracle hand of God. We need $1,000 to put this message that is in our hearts around the world. I ask you to provide it today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said. Gary is coming to introduce his longtime pastor, longtime friend, and Terry's got her Bible ready, and she's... I love pastors' wives. They also own Fox Jewelry. So those of you that just don't know what to do with your jewelry money, please consider Fox Jewelry down on Central Avenue. Gary, share with us if you would, please.
Okay. I'm going to stay right up here to do that. So I think I met Joe and Terry about 40 years ago. That makes me very young. So I started attending a church called Great Falls Christian Fellowship. Joe was a pastor there. Joe and Terry were home group pastors also, and I became part of that group, and they shepherded me through many shadowy valleys at the time. That was good. The church and Joe and Terry accepted me as I was. At the time, I was kind of disguised as a hippie. I wore a bib overalls and had long hair, and they even let me lead worship like that in bib overalls. I don't know if you guys would go that far, but pastors Joe and Mark married Paula and I. 1981. Joe and Terry have been very faithful to the home group ministry. That's been one of their callings for many years. And now Joe's going to share.
Pastor Mark tried to get me to wear that thing, and I tried, but it fit better upside down on me than it did the regular way, and I thought, well, that's going to look kind of silly up here, but if this works for you, it works for me. Everybody hear me now? The text for today is going to be from Proverbs 4, if you want to begin to turn there. It is good to be here with you this morning. It's good to see so many faces that I've known for many years. Good to see some new faces. It's always great when the family of God gets together. And I guess from my perspective now, and as I look back over the years, you know, when we were younger, we were full of all kinds of ideas we had these revelations of what we knew that God was saying to us, and we were willing to just whatever it took to, by golly, this is the Lord. And, you know, as we've gotten older, I think we've learned that the Lord is patient and kind and good, and that if there's one thing that we've learned is that the church is relational, not organizational. It's organic, and the kids that we were, we grow up and we go from, you know, from into reality, I guess, from some sort of a thought that we had. You know, I can remember in the 80s thinking, well, the kingdom of God's coming just any year. That was 1980. And here we are. Kingdom is still coming, and it comes more and more every day. It's so good to see Pastor Harry and Joyce. I remember going to a service at Calvary Temple before Mark got there and visit them. And I actually know Harry since my Mountain Bell days that we had. The first time I met Harry, he was on the second floor of the building at 401 First Avenue North in Great Falls, and he was either modifying or maintaining some stepper switches that we had in those days. And I remember one of the guys said, watch your language, he's a preacher. And, of course, Gary and Paula, it's so good to see you and be with you again as well. Gary did lead our worship for a number of years and worked with our son, who is a bass player. Well, thank you, Mark. That's and I've always appreciated both of them and their faithfulness to the Lord. In Proverbs 4, we turn to verse 23. I looked down and realized that I can't see it. Okay. Verse 23, in the King James Version, the Bible, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep is a Hebrew word for Nasar, to guard or to, in a good sense, to protect or maintain or obey. The New American Standard Version says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The version I like in this case is from the NIV, and I rarely use the NIV, but I found this, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. Heart is used widely. The word heart in Hebrew is used widely for feelings, the will, and even intellect. Likewise, the center of everything. You know, we talk about the heart. You'd say someone has heart. What's that mean? Or let's get to the heart of this thing, but it's to the center, the very essence of what we're talking about. And if we're going to walk in the fullness of our calling and be vessels suitable for the Spirit to work through us, we need to guard our hearts. I'm going to tell you some things today you probably never heard before. You may have wonder about them at first, but I'll leave that to the Lord and with you. But basically, the heart is the real you. Everything you do flows from it, correct? We just read that. The heart, the physical heart, we think of this heart in my breast is a physical pump. That's what it does. It pushes blood through our veins to keep us alive. But I'm here to tell you today that it's more than a physical pump. The heart is capable of thinking, feeling, remembering, and prompting outward behavior. For example, and you know, I've taught 40 years about the heart from the Word of God, but never realized what I've learned in the last 4 years, 3 years. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." What's that say about the heart right there? The heart can be cheerful. That physical pump can be cheerful. It can be sorrowful. Psalm 73, "When my heart was embittered, I was pierced within." Proverbs 23, "For as he thinketh in his heart," he thinks in his heart, "so is he." "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." That's from Proverbs 16. And Matthew 12, "For out of the mouth speaks, out of that which fills the heart." So why do we need to guard our hearts? Most of us have heard stories or seen this somewhere on TV where you're driving along or you come upon an accident or whatever the situation, and someone's pinned under a car. And so you run over, you grab the car, you lift it up, they pull the guy out, set the car back down, you can't pick it up again. Right? We've heard these stories. During a stressful event, a physical stressful event, two things are released into your system, into your body: adrenaline and something called cortisol. It can be a good thing that these things pump into your body, as we just talked about. But adrenaline causes plaque and blood clots, and cortisol stimulates the thyroid and causes more cholesterol. Now, the problem with this is that the body doesn't know one stress from another. It can't differentiate between physical stress or emotional stress. Emotional factors, things like fear, anxiety, anger, depression, worry, unforgiveness, jealousy. Our body knows stress. That's what it knows. These deadly emotions, that I call them, can cause that adrenaline and cortisol to continue to flow into your system. Maybe not in the same strength, but continue. Short-term physical stress is generally harmless. It's not in your system very long. Long-term emotional stress can keep the stress hormones pumping into your system on a nearly consistent basis. Years of emotional stress can have a very damaging effect on your body. You know, the Bible warns that sin will harden the human heart. In truth, hardening or calcified arteries can leave the heart looking as hard as a stone in an autopsy. Hardness of the heart is not just a euphemism for stubbornness, but a state that occurs from severe arterial sclerosis. A heart disease study at the Mayo Clinic found psychological stress is the strongest predictor of future cardiac events. Researchers have directly and scientifically linked emotions to hypertension, cardiovascular disease, diseases related to the immune system. Studies have also highly correlated emotions with infections, allergies, and autoimmune diseases like cancer and skin disease. Your body is the living reality of everything that you are. And everything you experience happens to all of you, not just to your brain. As Mark mentioned, we have a jewelry store downtown. How we got into that from the ministry is another whole message. But in the summer of 2013, my wife was having some back issues. She's had 3 back surgeries. And each of those, we've seen God work mightily in how that came about. But I would get off at 5:30 and walk over to the south parking ramp, a half a block away from our store, walk up to the 3rd floor, and get our car and bring it down so she didn't have to climb up the stairs. And I did that, well, for a year, I guess. But about July of 2013, yeah, I get to the top of the stairs and I have this funny feeling right here. And I think, you know, that's kind of strange. Wonder what that is. And so every night as I'd walk up there, it's still there. And I was wondering about it. And of course, especially as a man, I'm not going to do anything about it, you know. I mean, but so I did that until December. Finally, in December, I realized that I've got to find out what this is. And I made a doctor's appointment, went and saw the doctor on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. Of course, in jewelry business, Christmas time is harvest time. And so you don't do anything except try to sell things. But went to the doctor. Our doctor, our personal physician, his name was Dan Walker, was a cardiologist by trade anyway, but he was our personal doctor for relational reasons. He and Terry were born 2 days apart, and their dads were best friends all their lives. But I went to him, and the day before Christmas Day, I prayed, Lord, I need to know what this is. So I'm going to go to the doctor and find out. And this is what I believe he spoke to my heart. Take the steps I put before you, and I will be with you. So went to see Dr. Dan, told him about it. He said, do you think it's your heart? I said, well, I do exercise some. I never had any pain. He said, okay, we'll start with the easy things. Do you have acid reflux? I said, yeah. He said, okay, take this in the morning, this at night, come back in 3 weeks. I did that, got back, and he said, do you have acid reflux now? I said, nope. He said, do you still have that feeling? I said, yep. So he said, well, the next step is a chest x-ray. So, okay, went and had a chest x-ray, and of course it came back clean. And if you've ever gone through any kind of heart issues, you know that the first thing they always ask you is, do you smoke? And if you have bypass surgery and you're on a respirator, whether you have smoked or not makes a huge difference on coming out of it. But I told him and I told all the different people is, no, I haven't smoked since I was 12 when my mom caught me, which is the truth. So he said, well, the next step, and it came back clear, so he said, well, the next step is stress test, and that's where they put you on a treadmill, and they make it go faster and raise it up, and they give you about, I think, 8 minutes, and so I went in and did it, and I got through it, and I thought, well, you know, this is okay. I'm doing pretty good, and turned to Dan, and I said, well, how'd I do? And he said, in the way cardiac surgeons do talk, he said, well, there's some insignificant things here, some things that we need to look at a little further, which I've come to realize is cardiology talk for, wow, did you see what your heart just did? But they're not going to tell you that. I mean, they don't want to get you, they don't want you to have a heart attack on the spot. So he said, what we need to do next, and I know what's coming because I've had it done before, I had it done in the 90s, and that's a heart cath. And they go in through your groin or through your wrist, and they go into your heart, and they pump blue dye in there, and it goes through, and you're laying there, you can see it on the screen, and they can see if you have any blockages. Well, by the time I got to that, I had had no pain or anything, so I thought, well, I probably have a minor little blockage, and they'll put a stent in it, and I'll go home in a day or so. I went in there, and because I'm allergic to the blue dye they use, they put Benadryl. They give me Benadryl. Now, Benadryl, when you take it in an IV, is powerful stuff. The little pain things on the wall were the little circles with a happy face to go from happy to sad. What's your pain level? We were sitting in the hospital, and I looked at Terry, and I said, those little faces are coming out at me. And she said, no, they're not. I said, well, they are too. Look at them. Anyway, I had the heart cath, and I'm laying there, and I look over. I see the doctor's behind the glass on the phone, and he comes over, and all of a sudden Terry's there, and she's not supposed to be there. And the doctor, Dr. Gray, who's a fantastic guy, he said to me, well, I didn't put any stents in. I thought, oh, I made it through another one. I'm okay. He said, no, it wouldn't have done any good. He said, you're going to have bypass surgery. I said, oh. He said, yeah. He said, of your three main arteries, one's 98% blocked, one's 96% blocked, and one's 93% blocked. One other smaller one is blocked completely, and there's one in there that I don't remember. And I said, well, how'd I walk in here? And he said, well, I really don't know. I know it's the power of God. And so went home. He said, go home, get a good night's sleep. Well, I've been monitoring this for 6 months, you know. He said, go home, get a good night. I won't keep you, but tomorrow morning, call Dr. Williams, the surgeon, and we know Brett. And I said, okay, and we went home, and I did get a good night's sleep, got up the next morning, had breakfast, and a friend of ours, actually a pastor that used to pastor up in Opheim, Maranatha Center, Herb Sand is his name. We'd been down seeing them in their winter home in Green Valley, Arizona, and I called and talked to him, and as I was talking to him, pressure started coming to my heart, on my chest. Now, just before that, I told Terry, I said, well, I have a headache. She said, well, take this aspirin. I took the aspirin, started talking to him, the pressure came on. Well, as quickly as I could get off the phone without telling him anything more, I did, and I told Terry, I said, I've got to lay down. I laid down on the bed for a few minutes, and the elephant stepped on my chest. And she said, well, just rest here a minute. And I said, no, we got to call the doctor. We got to get out of here. So I called Dr. Dan. I said, yeah, this is Joe. And he said, Joe, I'm sorry to tell you, I got your results from your heart cath. You're going to have bypass surgery. And I said, yeah, I know, and it may be today. He said, what? So I told him about the pain. And he said, well, you get in the car and head for the hospital. I'll call Dr. Gray. He'll call you on the way and tell you where he wants you. But we didn't get out the door, and Dr. Gray called, and it was either cardiac intensive care or emergency. Well, he said, go to